All right, this is Pure Decking show number 572 for Thursday, August the 8th, 1980. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and debating the wisdom of 3D printing monitor mounts. Yeah, I'm really annoyed with some of these cheapy ones I got off Amazon, and I'm thinking, man, I could probably 3D print better shit than this. Or at least reinforce it with 3D print so it didn't wobble and lean quite so much. That might be the way to go. Reinforce it to hold it steady rather than purely plastic holding heavy shit up. Tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
I've seen a lot of 3D prints. The tensile strength, I wouldn't trust with a monitor.
Oh, I've designed a lot of 3D prints. They're tougher than you think if you design them right, but they usually have to be really big and chunky to do it. And we have an RU.
Oop. Not much is happening. Slow speed chase still going on.
So, I did.
It seems like this week, this whole chase has been this week really fucking slow and awkward.
That's just been everything lately. So, anyways, I tried out using an elliptical instead of a treadmill at the gym tonight.
And, oh, yeah, how'd you go?
Well, it's different.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I was working quite as hard as when I was on the treadmill. But I'm feeling sore, but it's in different, like, you know, different places than normally just running. So I guess we'll try that for a while. It does feel like it's easier on the joints, which that's the only reason I was thinking about it, is because my knees were fucking hurting. So it's like, well, let's try something different. So,
yeah, until you get around 200 pounds, they suggest not jogging. If you're doing anything like that, it's brisk walking.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because the running worked for me, fuck, a decade ago. So,
yeah, but you're 10 years fucking older, dude.
Yeah, and I'm heavier than now, or I'm as heavy now as I was when I started then, and this is after losing weight, so it's like, fuck. So, yeah.
It'll take time, but you'll get there.
So, at least I'm doing fucking something, right?
Yeah,
so long as it's going in the right direction.
But, anyways, so we'll see how that happens, but I'm definitely feeling it, and I think it's just because I was doing something different, because you know how once you do the same exercises after a while, you stop getting sore from it, so...
Yeah, but if it, your muscles get used to it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
As I said, with support and ridicule, we can help you lose this weight.
Well, as long as it's mostly ridicule, I think we'll be fine. So, anyways, despite politics sucking all the air out of the world, did manage to find a few non-political stories. Not a lot. And the one that is kind of political snuck in there, but we'll see how we get on with the time. Because if I start having to cut stories for time, well, the Iranian one's going to be the first one to go. So, I guess we'll start off with the big one. It's from Ars Technica. Google loses DOJ's big monopoly trial over search business. Google just lost a massive antitrust trial over its sprawling search business as U.S. District Judge Mehta, I'm not sure the right way to say that word, released his ruling showing that he sided with the U.S. Department of Justice in the case that could disrupt how billions of people search the web. Quote, Google is a monopolist and it has acted as one to maintain its monopoly, unquote, Mehta wrote in his opinion. Quote, it has violated Section 2 of the Sherman Act, unquote. The verdict will likely come as a shock to Google, which had long argued that punishing Google for being the best in search would be unprecedented, and frequently pointed out to the DOJ's lack of direct evidence. However, Mehta found the limited direct evidence compelling, especially, quote, Google's admission that it does not consider whether users will go to other specific search providers, general or otherwise, if it introduces a change to its search product, unquote. Quote, Google's indifference is unsurprising, unquote, Meta wrote, quote, In 2020, Google conducted a quality degradation study, which showed that it would not lose much search revenue if it were to significantly reduce the quality of its search product. Just as the power to raise the price, quote, when it is desired to do so, unquote, is proof of monopoly power, so too is the ability to degrade product quality without concern of losing customers, unquote. He also wrote that the DOJ's indirect evidence, quote, easily established Google's monopoly power in search, unquote, and concluded that, quote, the fact that Google makes product changes without concern that its users might go elsewhere is something only a firm with monopoly power could do, unquote. Google didn't lose everything in this big fight with the DOJ. Meta ruled that Google did not have monopoly power in search advertising, agreed that there was no market for general search advertising, and declined to sanction Google for allegedly destroying evidence by, quote, failing to preserve its employees' chat messages, unquote. Yeah, the failing to preserve chat messages is an interesting one, because it depends on when they got the,
when they got the order preserved.
Yeah, the preserve, yeah.
If it was after that, then I would say yes, because in those chat messages, it may even be just a channel that's supposed to be devoted totally to social things, trying to increase morale, not actually be work-related, like a joke section or something in a chat. Work will seep into it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you don't have a specific, I mean, we call them legal holds. A lot of places call them that. If you don't have that on a channel, one, it'll be subject to whatever your routine, data retention policies are. But two, especially stuff like chat messages. I know when we've had a change of manager in the past, it was fairly routine for somebody to go scrub the chat channels for that team, especially when they might have been making fun of that manager fairly heavily in that particular channel. Of course, if that manager wasn't a fucking idiot, we wouldn't have been making fun of him so much in the channel and had to scrub it when he somehow took over that team. So, well, idiot might be the, let's just say he must have had a well-used set of knee pads. Talk about failing upward. He also wrote, did I already read that? Yeah, I did. figured out how to finally IRC. I don't know why it was messing up earlier, Psychros. It seems good now. But yeah, I couldn't connect to the Libre chat for the longest time. I don't know what was going on there. Google's president of global affairs, Kent Walker, provides a statement to Ars confirming that Google plans to appeal. Quote, this decision recognizes that Google offers the best search engine, but concludes that we shouldn't be allowed to make it easily available, Walker said. We appreciate the court's finding that Google is the industry's highest quality search engine. That's not what he said. Which has earned Google the trust of hundreds of millions of daily... I love the spin this guy's putting on it. And that Google has long been the best search engine, particularly on mobile devices. It has continued to innovate in search, and that Apple and Mozilla occasionally assess Google's search quality relative to its rivals and find Google's to be superior. Given this, I mean, what are you comparing it to? Fucking Bing? given this, and that people are increasingly looking for information in more and more ways, we plan to appeal. And as this process continues, we'll remain focused on making products that people find helpful and easy to use. Meta was not surprised that Google had continued innovating, despite the DOJ's claims that search quality had deteriorated. Quote, Google's penchant for innovation is consistent with the behavior of a monopolist, unquote, Meta wrote. I don't know. I kind of wish they would have brought up the whole in-shitification thing. Because that tends to be a sign of monopoly as well. I don't know. Yes, Google's monopoly. Amazon's a monopoly. Arguably, Apple is as well. I think these should at least be looked at.
eBay.
Say what?
eBay.
Oh, absolutely.
I know they've got a little bit of competition. Kind of taking the place of eBay, I'm thinking.
They got a little bit of competition, but they are the go-to website if you're just an individual trying to sell off some collectible shit.
Well, Facebook Marketplace has kind of gotten them some competition, although Facebook, you know, talk about fucking monopoly. So, yeah, I think it's safe to look into these companies as monopolies. You might not win a monopoly case against all of them, but I think they should probably be brought. Just from the whole, I mean, like, you know, stupid shit like Amazon suddenly like, oh yeah, no, if you want you don't want ads in your shows, yeah, that's an extra $4 a month. You know, it's just, you know, bend over a little harder. Let me kick you right in the anyways.
Yeah, I just look at dealing with corporations like that. It's like dealing with fucking Darth Vader. You just pray they don't alter the deal.
Yeah. Meta ruled that Google spending billions on exclusive distribution agreements with companies like Apple help the tech giant maintain monopolies in two markets, general search services and general text advertising. The U.S. government had argued that Google used these exclusive deals to block out competitors like Bing or DuckDuckGo, quote, by ensuring that all of Android and Apple and mobile users are off of Google, either as the default general search engine or the only general search engine. Google's deals with Android, Google is Android. What do you mean Google's deals with Android? And Apple have significant effects in preserving its monopoly. Unquote. The DOJ successfully argued that Google blocks rivals from reaching, quote, critical level necessary to pose a real threat to Google's monopoly, unquote. Meta noted that Google dominance had gone unchallenged for well over a decade, partially due to a largely unseen advantage over its rivals, default distribution. He found that Google's exclusive distribution deals foreclosed a substantial share of the markets and allowed Google to earn more revenue. Google then shared spiking revenues with devices and browser developers, spending up to $26 billion in 2021 alone for exclusive deals. So, the thing is, I've not tried on an Android device recently. I do happen to have one here. I've not had a problem changing shit to use like DuckDuckGo.
Well, I use DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, it that hasn't really been a thing. Now, like, Android's still going to tie into Google for just about everything else, but let me just see. Yeah, well, okay, that's right. I didn't even bother trying to change Chrome to DuckDuckGo on this Android tablet. I just I installed the DuckDuckGo browser. So, you know, I mean, it's not that you can't change it. It's just that it's the default, I think, is what they're saying here. So that, and that's an interesting tactic, saying that making it the default across everything by paying off everybody to make it the default is a monopolistic tactic. I mean, I don't disagree with it, but I think there's more of an argument there than is presented by this story. You know?
Yeah. I think the issue is them paying. If it was a natural monopoly, they wouldn't have had an argument.
Yeah. Okay.
But if they're actually, here's money, make us the default, then you are predatory. It's not predatory pricing, but you are predatorily keeping out your competition. Because a new startup can't pay everyone. They don't have any money yet.
Right.
they're starting up.
Google did all this, Meta said, to ensure that most devices in the United States come preloaded exclusively with Google. I mean, again, most of them, you can hit the little options that go, there's a bunch of different choices in there for the default search, including DuckDuckGo and Bing. Yahoo used to be in there too. So, I mean, it's not like I haven't checked lately on that one. But I mean,
you're making an argument that Google's not a monopoly because people are just too stupid.
No, I'm just trying to, I'm just thinking about it in terms of, because they said it's exclusively Google, like that's your only choice. Whereas I think that's a different statement than it's the default choice, and maybe changing that is not very clear, which that's certainly the case on some of them. You know, with at least on the iPhones, it's buried under the settings app. If you want to go change with the default search engine, it's not even in the browser. You have to, although arguably for some stuff on the Apple stuff, that's normal for things to be in that settings app as opposed to in the app itself. And I haven't tried lately, but I'm betting the mobile versions of Chrome don't even give you a choice. I do know the Gmail app on iOS, once a day, if you click a link in an email, which is generally bad practice, but if you're trying to click on something in an email, at least once a day, it will ask if you want to download Chrome, and it'll have a bunch of defaults in there that are wrong. And it's like, you, even if you check the little box, don't ask me this again, and just use, you know, Safari, it it's going to ask you tomorrow anyways. It doesn't fucking care. It only remembers that for like an hour. So they're kind of aggressive about it, but and that's an argument. So I don't know. I'm just trying to make sure I fully what's in the, I'm trying to square up my own experience with what this article says. And maybe I'm being more pedantic about language than the people who wrote this, which would be amusing because they're all lawyers.
Well, I'm wondering how many, like, say, average users, normies, even know there are other search engines other than Google.
Very few, I would imagine.
But on that one, I don't think that's Google's problem.
No, it's not. I'm not saying that that is Google's fault. That's fantastic marketing on the behalf of Google. I'm just seeing it from, I'm not saying that Google's not a monopoly. I'm just saying that some people just don't know there's other competitors.
It's kind of the, we're not saying you're wrong, Walter. We're just saying you're an asshole argument.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
So, yeah, which forced Google's rivals to find other ways to reach users. DOJ successfully argued this posted significant barriers to protect Google's market dominance and general search, with rivals having to overcome high capital costs to the tune of billions of dollars, Meta wrote. Google's control of key distribution channels, brand recognition, and scale. Barriers to entry in general text advertising are similarly high, Meta wrote, with new entrants facing the same major obstacles that would that the developer of a new search engine. One of the most scrutinized exclusive deals was between Google and Apple, which was estimated at $20 billion in 2022. This nearly doubles the payment made in 2020, unquote, Meta noted, suggesting that Google increasingly valued the deal, locking its search engine as the default in Safari as a way to shore up its search dominance. Quote, Google has long recognized that if Apple were to develop and deploy its own search engine as the default search tool in Safari, it would come at great cost to Google, unquote, Meta wrote. With that to deal, Google, quote, would lose around 65% of its revenue, even assuming it could retain some users without the Safari default placement, unquote. But Apple has decided not to enter general search, Meta said, likely because it would forego significant revenues and potentially face user backlash if it stopped partnering with Google. Similarly, high revenue loss would occur, quote, if Google were to lose the Android defaults, unquote. Okay, again, that one's weird to me. There's some weird statements in here. Apple
Android owns... Android. Yeah, it's their thing.
Yeah, they bought it. I mean, Android is technically an open source, but the main distributions of it are developed by Google. Like, they employ the people who are writing the Android kernel. So, that's a weird one to me. Unless they mean, like, Samsung, which is the primary maker of Android devices these days. There's also... But, like, Amazon makes Android stuff, but they strip all the Google stuff out and put in their own. Apple would never bother with a search engine because it's just not their thing. They don't make web services like that. They make hardware and sell it.
Isn't Safari theirs?
Yeah.
What would be the problem with developing a Safari for phones?
Safari's...
Other than they just don't want to. That their search engine? I thought that was a search engine.
No, it's Safari's a browser. Safari's their version of Firefox or Chrome.
Oh, never mind then.
And Safari does use WebKit, which is the same rendering engine as Chrome. So they're packaging components that are the same components that Chrome uses to make a browser. So that's getting a little esoteric, but. Apple could if they wanted to. They're not a web services company. I don't know why they would go into that. You know what I mean? Their thing has always been they sell hardware. And then all the software they write is to support selling hardware. So, none of the pro-competitive benefits that Google claimed justified the exclusive deals persuaded Meta, who ruled that, importantly, Google exercised its monopoly power by charging super competitive prices for general search text ads and thus earned monopoly profits. quote, that Google makes changes to its text ad auctions without considering its rivals' prices is something that only a firm with monopoly power is able to do, unquote, Meta wrote. And this guy's reasoning is interesting, because he's talking about the fact that they don't consider their competitors' prices. But that same argument would apply to an idiot who doesn't know how to price things.
Yeah, but an idiot would go out of business, and Google doesn't.
Yeah, okay. And, quote, Google, in fact, has profitably raised prices sustainably above the competitive level. That makes the existence of monopoly power clear, unquote. I don't disagree with him. I'm just, the reasoning is... Maybe I don't understand. This is where we prove that Morphs is not a lawyer. Ultimately, Meta ruled that Google has no true competitor in general search, and without any genuine competition, over the last decade, Google's grip on the market has only grown stronger. Further, he found that Google understands there is no general competition for the defaults because it knows that its partners cannot afford to go elsewhere, disagreeing with Google's arguments that the default deals were not exclusive. Quote, the key question is, do Google's exclusive distribution contracts reasonably appear capable of significantly contributing to maintaining Google's monopoly power in general search services market? Meta wrote, the answer is yes. Unquote. It's unclear what action the court will take as a result of Meta's ruling. Well, if Google's going to appeal it, basically nothing is going to happen for now. But, yeah, at a minimum, means in Google's exclusive default agreements and breaking up businesses that have allowed Google to extend its monopoly power. The bad thing about them breaking up Google's default agreements, that's largely how Mozilla has been funding the development of Firefox. Like, that Google payment is how Mozilla pays its employees.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple could probably care. It's billions of dollars. I'm sure they care, but... You know what I mean? Apple's not going to lose any sleep over that. You know, Samsung, hell, they'd probably rather promote some of their own stuff anyways.
I mean, is there even a need in the market for another search engine?
Yeah. As you and I both routinely, you know, point out, Google search results are crap lately.
Yeah, they are. DuckDuckGo is... not that bad, but
not only are their search results crap, but they manipulate their findings.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. For you and I, we would like one, but I don't think the average Joe out there is really crying out for another search engine.
They're not crying out for it, but they need it. And the reason I say that is, well, because it flavors everything right now. Political stories for quite a bit in Google. If you were looking up stuff on Trump's assassination, it wasn't just pulling up stuff on Trump. It was pulling up stuff on Trump and then positive things on Kamala.
Yeah.
If you Googled Kamala, you weren't getting anything on Trump.
I know they heavily fuck around with it for their political expediency, but...
Well, it's not necessarily just political expediency.
The problem is...
I noticed that because I'm looking at that, but they also do it for businesses.
The problem is, how do you fund something that no one knows about, and let alone that they, yes, they need it, but they don't know they need it?
Well, and that's kind of the point I was getting at, is some of these agreements with Google are how some operations are funded, period. So that's where... You know, if that agreement goes away, Firefox has to try to do what Opera did back in the day and try to be a subscription to use a browser. It didn't go that well for Opera. You notice they're free now, and they've rebranded to try to be the gamer browser, and they do some other weird stuff. Like, I think they have some VPN that's on by default trying to shove all your traffic through their system. So.
That'd be pushing Mozilla to start selling your information like everyone else.
Yep. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I think I suspect from the quotes in this article that there's technical minutiae that the judge didn't quite understand, you know, about the default agreement. I think he was reading like, well, you have this agreement, you can't change your search from Google. No, you can. Sometimes it's kind of a pain in the butt, but you can. And Google was trying to argue, oh, no, you could change your search. But that's not how the judge saw it. And I think that might be, you know, kind of getting into the weeds a little bit. Because I think your point that most people aren't going to change the defaults is a fair one. So I don't know. That's an interesting one. But the follow-up story I have next here from Windows Central is even funnier, just to follow up the Google article here. So we can go ahead and move on to that.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't know monopoly law well enough to make really good arguments. It's just some of the language in that article was bothering me because it's like, no, wait a minute. But that's because I read these things differently. So this is from Windows Central. Apple says there's no price Microsoft could pay to make it ditch Google. They offered to give us Bing for free. It seems Apple has popped Microsoft bubble and dwindled its hope of Bing being its default search engine across its ecosystem over Google. According to StatCounter's latest report, Google dominates the search landscape with a whopping 91.04%, whereas Bing only holds 3.86% of the market share. And I'm sure that 3.86% is because Bing is the default in Windows.
And if you click on a link in Windows,
it makes you go to Bing.
Even if you have something else as your default, Bing is opening up the window.
Yep. And when you first install a modern Windows, even if you want to go download Chrome or Firefox, you open Edge now. You open Edge, and the first thing it opens is that Bing page. And anything you try to do in a Microsoft tool that it can interpret as a search, even in the start menu, it's going to try to shove that to Bing. So I'm sure that's where that 3% is coming from. Yeah, again, this references the judge ruling that Google's a monopolist, blah, blah, blah. As you may know, Google pays Apple large sums of money to be the default search engine in Safari. Over the past few years, Google has been accused of breaking antitrust laws by allegedly paying $15 billion to secure and assert its search engine dominance. In 2021, the company paid a jaw-dropping $26 billion to maintain its search engine as the default across Apple devices. Apple says there's no other meaningful alternative, according to Apple's senior VP of services, Eddie Q. Quote, I don't believe there's a price in the world that Microsoft could offer us. They offered to give us Bing for free. They could give us the whole company, unquote. Based on Apple's sentiments and the decision to maintain Google search as the only viable option, Judge Meta said Google is the only. Okay. So anyways, it's just, there's this kind of references the last article quite a bit, but again, it's referencing that, but it's just, it's really funny because Apple's basically saying, yeah, we're not putting Bing on our devices no matter what. And I wonder if that's the Microsoft Apple rivalry or if that's genuinely, they just don't like Bing. They think Bing's a terrible service.
I haven't really searched with Bing. Is it crap?
It's different.
Yeah, it's different. That's a word for it.
If you're looking for Microsoft specific stuff, it's pretty good. If you're looking for anything else, they don't fuck with their results as much as Google does when it comes to politics. They've got the side loaded up with all their AI shit, though, trying to advertise it and trying to, you know, they really, I mean, when you load up Ping in anything, I mean, it's very aggressive with the log into Microsoft, give Microsoft all of your data, all glory to Microsoft bullshit. But, not on the main search page, on the results page, because they're really pushing you to try to use the AI and, use Edge as your default browser and, you know, oh, you want a 365 account. Yeah, they're very, it's just, I mean, it's very aggressive, but yeah.
So, the problem with it isn't its search results. It's that it doesn't want to be just a search engine. It's an advertising platform for Google's, for Microsoft shit.
Bing looked at what Google did and wants to do the same thing, and they're trying too hard. But nobody really advertises with Bing, so it's all Microsoft ads. So, I don't know. I think DuckDuckGo for now is going to be good. Eventually, it'll get too big. I've noticed they're advertising on TV now.
They are?
Yeah.
They're here.
Yeah, I saw it on TV here. They had Fox News on one of the TVs at the gym, and that was the one that the DuckDuckGo ads were playing on, which I thought was interesting. Because I kind of was like, isn't Fox News mostly old people watching it? That's I don't think that's your target market there, is it? Maybe it is. I don't know anymore. But, they're advertising on TV. So if they'll eventually get too big for their britches, and we'll have to figure out something else. But go ahead, Ben.
Old people aren't the old people they used to be.
You're saying they die out and new people get old, Madman?
Yes. So some of those old people were playing with computers in their 20s.
Fucking Commodore 64.
Dude, I don't know about you. Free-to-air TV is just fucking terrible. I caught a bit of the 6 o'clock news on, I think it was Tuesday, and they were actually reading out people's horoscopes. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
I've stopped pretty much doing free-to-air TV, not because the programming's necessarily horrible. It's that I'm so used to just being able to watch what I want to watch from different streaming services that I don't line up timing for any shows on TV.
Oh, all right.
Like, you have to be there at 6 to watch something? Well, it's 6:10. I want to watch it from the beginning now.
My wife just has it on as background noise for while she's working.
My problem.
I just see it when I go out, leave my office, go out for smoke.
My problem with those is with over-the-air TV and cable, for that matter, when I go visit the family and they've got their cable on, half the damn programming's ads. It's like 50-50 time nowadays for ads. You know, when we were kids, it was like 25 minutes of show, 5 minute of ad, and then, you know, shit, when I first moved out, it was closer to 10 minutes of ad. Now I think it's half.
It's around 17 for the program. 16 to 17 for a program.
Yeah.
The rest of it's ads.
So.
But what's driving me fucking nuts is live reads on podcasts.
Oh,
I mean, give a fuck about your balding scrotum pills. Just fucking keep, you know, keep on the show.
So speaking of, I'm gonna stop. I'm not even gonna go there.
Damn it. You put the bait on the hook, you throw it out there and don't even get a response.
Well, yeah, but the only advertiser we got was Madman's, you know, hot wax, and I wasn't really interested in that one. He was only paying in free samples.
Hey, you gotta start somewhere. If you sell that wax, you make candles. And it's not the wax itself that was the value, it was the application.
Fucking ear candles. Anyway. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the point. Next article.
Yep.
Okay. This one's from IT Pro. OpenAI could go and you did send me a very similar story last week, but we didn't do a show last week. So OpenAI could go bankrupt in 12 months if it doesn't raise some serious cash. OpenAI could be on the brink of collapse, with the projected losses totaling $5 billion, according to the analysts conducted by the information that drew in previously undisclosed financial information. This means the AI trailblazer could be on track to go bankrupt within the next 12 months, with details from the report putting OpenAI way out ahead in spending compared to counterparts in generative AI space. Its training and interface costs could reach as high as $7 billion this year, with an additional $1.5 billion in spending on staff via X. This stark This is stark contrast with Anthropic, which has been projected to spend $2.7 billion. I mean, think about how much these companies are literally throwing billions of dollars around training these AIs. I mean, holy shit.
Oh, one breakthrough and they get their money back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happened to ChatGPT a couple of years ago.
They're all looking at NVIDIA, ChatGPT, and they're going, yeah, man, if we just double down, get that one thing.
Well, I mean, OpenAI made ChatGPT. That's the problem, is that they've had their one hit, and yeah, OpenAI is... go ahead.
You want to be a successful AI company? Stop fucking with the AI. Just let it fucking develop.
Yeah, find an application for it.
Putting your bullshit biases in there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find an application for it beyond being a chatbot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. They're really struggling to find an application for AI that isn't a chatbot. Or a very, very specific task that it cannot deviate from.
That's the problem. It doesn't have general intelligence. It's really good search engine. And they could probably adapt it to be selling it to something like Microsoft. Here's a way to have a user get all of their answers. It's a Clippy. They could make it a really good Clippy.
Yeah, but this is the problem. They want to stuff it into a fucking box and go, it cannot go outside these parameters. And as an end user, I want to just poke it, pull it, fucking twist it, you know what I mean? Into the image that I want. I don't want to use what the corporate...
A lot of the shine has gone off on the AI stuff too. You know, everybody was rushing to it last year, and then more and more people are getting disillusioned with it now. So I think
the first 2 weeks of ChatGPT were amazing.
Yeah.
Like the first 24 hours of Tay, absolutely amazing. Then they fucked with it. And that was it. I lost interest completely when they started fucking with it. They set limitations.
OpenAI spending has been a recurring talking point over the last 18 months, with industry analysts underlying the steep costs associated with building and maintaining its flagships, such as ChatGPT. Estimates put the cost of keeping ChatGPT up and running at nearly $700,000 a day in 2023. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah.
By comparison, the firm's revenue is just shy of $3.5 billion, creating potentially untenable margins for the company and prompting some industry analysts to question its entire business model. And that's the problem, right, is OpenAI's business is these chatbots. Almost everyone else who's developing them is doing them on the side. Google, Twitter, Meta, Facebook, they're all making these things as part of larger projects, as part of a company that's making its revenue somewhere else. That's why Facebook is open sourcing all of their stuff. That's, you know, and you, they're not, that's the problem, is OpenAI, their business model is licensing out access to their ChatGPT, and they do. They sell it to Microsoft. OpenAI is reported to receive a discounted access to Microsoft's Azure as part of its relationship with the tech giant. Microsoft also invested billions in the startup over the last 2 years. But it's they don't have a business model. They really, I mean, they're licensing access to the thing, but you've got competitors who aren't dependent on selling access to it, also selling it. Open source stuff is out there too. And honestly, the open source stuff is what's probably going to win in the long run, because that's the one that people are going to be able to play the most with, and it's not censored. And like you were saying, you know, they're trying to censor it and control what comes out of it and make sure it leans certain, you know, directions, and ostensibly for safety, but you know politics we're getting involved too.
And it's not just safety. They're not paying people to program this. A lot of the shit's volunteers.
Yeah.
So you're getting the volunteers' bias. There's no one going through saying, what you labeled here is an opinion, not a fact. We're right now feeding it facts.
So, yeah, I think the open source stuff is the stuff that's going to win, because that's when you'll have the most freedom with what models you use and what you can do with it. In fact, they figured out several of the online AI image generators. I mean, Google famously got caught doing this with their Gemini, but there's lots of them that they fuck with the prompt after the user puts it in. They put other things in the prompt. Mainly, it's supposed to keep it from making porn in most cases. But, you know, Gemini got caught sticking words like diversity and other things in there. Yeah. So that, like, you literally couldn't get it to make a picture of a white person.
That was hilarious 48 hours.
Which is why I think the open source stuff is going to win, ultimately, because that's going to be... Because when somebody comes up with a unique use for this thing, or something really cool to do with it, it's probably going to be in a way that whoever originally put the model together might not have been happy about, or might be an application that they didn't think of and their censorship would interfere with.
Well, I mean, the discovery of Fusion, you know, that stands out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic discovery. Never thought you'd fucking see the day they dropped the bomb. But that's the risk they've got to take with AI. Fucking let it go, man.
So, but I think that's the problem, is that OpenAI doesn't, they don't have anything else. And almost everyone else who's developing these AI models is not doing it as a sole, they're, you know, that's not their only source of revenue. So I suspect what'll end up happening is OpenAI will get bought out, most likely by Microsoft, because they already have the existing relationship. But they'll eventually get bought out by somebody, I suspect.
I would like to see a very large open world video game and then throw AI at it. So you start your game, you type in, I don't know, 10 prompt words, and then the AI creates a game around it.
You know, that probably wouldn't be too hard to cobble something like that together now with some of the existing open source models and then, I don't know, like the open source Second Life stuff.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you get it to work, I just want 5%. That's it. The rest is profit. Yours.
All right, 5% of the hate mail can go your way. Psychro says in the IRC, they already have AI being used to write D&D campaigns. I bet that's...
Yeah, they've plugged it into Mount & Blade as well to have a better story experience. I know it's there, but it's not an original thought. I was just trying to think of something to say that you could use AI for that wasn't pornography or image generation.
Oh, I've got one of those Tesla cards I got off eBay a little while ago. I've been meaning to build up a box with, and I've got all the parts in over there. I just haven't had time to mess with it, mainly because the board doesn't have the right kind of PCI slot, and I got to figure out the coolings yet. So I can get it to work. I've just gotta figure out how to jury rig it all together. Yeah, combine D&D campaign with something like DALL-E and a little 3D model. Well, I would say you would probably want to do anything beyond static images is crazy compute heavy. Yeah, but I mean, if you wanted to plug it into like a VTT. Virtual tabletop for running like a D&D campaign as a virtual GM, or even just as supporting an existing, you know, like if your DM wants to use it as a supporting tool, I think that would be the better place, is where you still have a human dungeon master, but they're using the AI to fill in the blanks of their broad strokes. So you get a much more, you know, detail. Cause otherwise the AI is going to, you know, anybody who's played around with like, tell me a story, you know, these things will, they come up with really simplistic things. But I could easily see where if you've pre-fed it all the monster blocks, you know, the stat blocks and all that, okay, I've got a group of level 5 characters here, you know, generate me an encounter that will be challenging and somebody might die, but the party will probably win, right? That's kind of the level you want as a DM. Yeah. And it's like, okay, here's the broad strokes of my evil wizard story, and then you could have the AI fill in a bunch of the gaps and maybe even generate a map for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I could see that. You know, just save a bunch of prep work.
In the corporate world, apart from very specific tasks, it's fucking useless.
Customer service chatbots is about the only place you see it being used.
Yeah, and all you corporations who have that, fuck you. I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah.
I really do. And your customers hate it. Just stop.
looking at the clock, there goes the Iran story. Anyways, for anybody who's wondering about the story I just nixed, Iran is making fake social media accounts to try to influence Israelis.
Did you see their what their retaliation video looked like?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious, dude. Part Command and Conquer. Part fucking...
They went and took shit out of Command and Conquer and said, this is what we're going to do. Just
video game shit. There's a few... there's a few real images, but then you could tell that they'd used like image layering. So it's like two war trucks. They turned it into 600 war trucks. It was just the same truck fucking over and over again in the footage.
That's funny. Like,
it was pretty piss poor.
That's funny. Well, I mean, the gag of that is Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, played that gag where he, you know, when he went. In one of the movies, he went and took footage from Independence Day and just played that for.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's great. Disney Plus is doing the same thing as Netflix. They're cracking down on password sharing, which is hardly surprising considering they charge subscriptions.
Bye-bye, Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's from The Verge, so. Yeah, Psychro says he's been using AI at work basically as a better search engine. I've seen a lot of people doing that. And again, the only thing you got to worry about there is AI makes shit up. It absolutely makes shit up. I was working on, I think it was a TeamSpeak thing. And Suave was like, oh, let me go ask ChatGPT. And he was telling me to go look for options that weren't there because the AI wasn't reading a manual. It was making shit up. Because it's like, well, those options, that's where other options similar to that are. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't ask them to write me shit. I have it explain clauses or ask what clause. Okay, yeah, that is a good way to use it. Like, okay, I need an example of how to use this function, this SQL call. This thing. It's good for that because then it does give you a bunch of examples to work with. Because basically it's scraped all the manuals, so it knows which ones you're looking for. anyways, this article from The Verge, Disney Plus will soon no longer let you share your password with people outside your household. During an earnings call on Wednesday, Disney CEO Bob Iger said the crackdown will kick off in earnest this September. The timeline for Disney's password sharing crackdown is a bit more confusing so far. In February, Disney announced plans to roll out paid sharing and also began notifying users about the change. It then launched paid sharing in a few countries in June, but provided no information on when it would reach the U.S. Now, it seems like Disney is pretty serious about rolling out paid sharing to even more subscribers in September, even though it still hasn't shared details on how much it will cost. Netflix, which rolled out paid sharing last year, charges an extra $7.99 per month to add another person to your account. Quote, we've had no backlash at all to the paid sharing notifications that have gone out.
That we're going to tell you about.
And to all the work we've already been doing, Iger says. On top, we've had no backlight.
we're currently trying to talk down the call staff from the roof. They've been abused so much.
I love the no backlash at all. Well, you know, the GIMP hasn't complained at all. We're not taking the ball gag out of its mouth, but, you know, it hasn't complained.
Yep.
You know, stare at me wide-eyed if you want me to continue. Oh, it agreed.
I don't know how Bob Iger hasn't fucking killed himself. Like, he's just driven that country, that company into the ground, man.
And I'm going to say it may be cracking down soon. They're already doing it. If you're logging in with an account from a house other than where it's normally expected, it keeps asking for the password. It just doesn't let you click on it and save the password anymore.
Now, on top of the crackdown, Disney is raising prices across Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN starting in October. Iger says he's not concerned about losing subscribers over the price increase since the company is also adding ABC News Live and curated playlists that give the company pricing leverage.
I wonder if he's not worried about it because he's going to leave soon.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay. They're probably going to start introducing tiered pricing as well, which I think is stupid. And that is, you pay us X amount and you get our product with ads. You pay us more, you get the product without ads.
With less ads. You're always going to get ads, Batman.
Oh, no. Netflix is still ad-free. There's Max is still ad free. There's all kinds of them.
Yeah. So, last article I have for tonight. This is from the BBC. Warning over fake QR codes on parking machines. This has come up before, but it's a good call out. Fake QR codes are being stuck on council-owned parking machines to try to trick people into handing over their card details. Parking officers found the codes on meters and on the parade in Lalandwo and Colwyn Bay Promenade, Conway Council said. The codes look like they are part of the council's payment system, but instead lead to a phony website. The council said it uses pay-by-phone apps for payments, not QR codes. Motorists who think they have paid for their parking via the fake QR code also risk parking fines. It said enforcement officers would continue to monitor parking machines across the country, adding it was working with police and paid by phone to get the fraudulent site taken down. This is obviously a thing everywhere. I've actually seen similar systems with the QR codes on them. And like the QR code was under the glass, right? So it actually, but it's like, how do you tell? How do you tell that it's not just a sticker somebody's gone by and stuck on there to take the parking fines instead of the people who are supposed to get it? Then you get your car code anyways. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that shit.
I now kind of want to set up a bank account in Nauru and up some QR codes. Although it wouldn't work in my town for anyone that pays attention to city ordinances.
Considering how many people pay attention to city ordinances, it's probably a fairly low population you have to worry about there, Madbent.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, it's a good call out though, because especially with it's not just parking things. Anything with a pay by QR code where they want you to scan up, like restaurants do this stuff too. You know, where they've got a QR code on the table, and you can scan that to get a menu and then pay online. You got to watch out because it's real easy for somebody else to print out a sticker with a different QR code on there and just stick it on there. So I guess the best thing to do would be to, if you're going to parking or something and you see a QR code to pay, just maybe look at it and make sure that that's not a sticker on top of an existing QR code or something.
Or you can do what I do. Tell just the woman as she's getting seated for your meal that you'd like a hard copy of the menu, please, and you are paying cash.
Yep.
And they get really upset.
Well, that's the safe way to do it. Yeah, hell, just tell them your identity's been stolen too many times and you just don't trust the electronic systems and they won't argue with you that much.
Well, dude, I don't have a phone. I can't order food if I don't have a phone. Okay.
Yeah.
Places I go to, they still hand me menus. I've never been to a restaurant where I was told, pull it up on the phone.
There's a few up in Nashville that do that, and I've had a few others like that around here.
Yeah, and I just thought, the idea of you being a waitress, you're meant to bring me shit? That's why we're paying extra?
Well, it's like when you go to the fast food place, and now they've got a place for the tip at, fucking Subway. And
fuck
it's like.
Off.
Like I'm not sitting at a table and you didn't bring me anything. You literally just, Yeah.
I walk past McDonald's, dude. There's nobody at the counter. There's a fucking screen there.
It's a screen and then it'll give you a number and somebody will then bring it out. If you take the little table stand and it'll bring it out to you. Others, they'll just, somebody will holler at you and then it just kind of shows up. And part of me in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, man, there's nothing to stop you from just walking up there, taking all the food that's ready and leaving, especially the ones they have in stacks that, like, say, for DoorDash.
And get out of my head, morphs.
And that's why I like Chick-fil-A. They take my order. They bring me food. I get out of there much faster than any McDonald's drive-thru I've ever been in. And it doesn't matter how many hundreds of cars are in front of me.
Uh-oh. Psycho says people do steal the food for DoorDash.
Oh, that doesn't shock me.
Yeah, he said people the restaurant no it used to happen. It said it happened anymore. Occasionally where he used to work. So,
yeah, people have no fucking standards anymore.
All right, let's do this. So, what I have for you tonight in Dojo is awesome. Madman, you might actually remember this from middle school. because I remember this was in some of the classes we had. Sci-fi writer and WordStar lover re-releases the cult DOS app for free. WordStar's most recent claim to fame is to be the word processing application which George Martin is still not finishing A Song of Ice and Fire. Many writers loved and still love WordStar. Basically, somebody kept the source code to the thing, and they're putting out the complete WordStar Ice archive, WordStar 7, and they've even got a pre-configured DOS box so you can run the original WordStar. You know, from Robert J. Sawyer. That's the guy who put it out. So, yeah, he's just archived the whole thing up, including a DOS box, so you can run old school WordStar, which I actually suspect we're going to start seeing people taking machines that are maybe not old enough to really be doing this, but I mean, you could probably even do it with modern machines, and just loading up DOS and all the old DOS software and using that, as opposed to messing with, you know, modern Windows, just because of all the bullshit and how unreliable some of this stuff gets, because they're doing all this stuff in the background all the time. It wouldn't surprise me in the least to start seeing people who have to do something professionally loading up a task-specific machine on, like, DOS or Raspi, or, yeah, I mean, you just want DOS or Raspi or run it fast. Yeah, well, yeah, but you have to... With something like a Raspi, you have to load it up in like Box 86 or something because of the or DOS box because it's, you know, ARM and x86. I'm thinking people just grab, you know, I mean, DOS works on modern machines. It's just not that well because all the hardware is not really meant for it, but or runs way too fast. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if your job was writing like that, you know, or using software like that, that people just grab a task-specific machine, load up software like that, and just don't even fuck around with, like, the modern consumer shit. Hell, maybe
you're doing that special if you don't want to start paying subscriptions, because they're trying to push subscriptions for every fucking thing.
You know,
and I want to buy software and own my software.
You know, I had iPad apps that I had paid for, like, you know, SSH tunneling and you know, really nice little terminal apps and even a text editor. That I had paid for the fucking app, you know, like the $3 or whatever it was, right? And I didn't use it for a while, and then I go back and try to use it again, especially, you know, this is right around the time Apple started adding subscriptions as an option to iTunes. All of them had invalidated their old versions and said, yeah, no, if you want the pro features now, it's like $5 a month. It's like, I'm not paying a fucking subscription to use a fucking text editor. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
Especially a text editor that you already purchased.
Yeah.
And that grounds you're morally allowed to pirate.
Yeah, you understand why I was pissed about it. So yeah, I think there's absolutely, especially because most of the DOS software is up on archive.org anyways. I love that this guy's packaged up WordStar in a DOS box thing and just threw it out there because, I mean, WordStar 7, it's like 30 years old. I don't know who owns the copyright, but I don't think the company's around anymore. So it's like, they're not going to tell them to take it down. I mean, they might, but I mean, you can go on archive.org and get all kinds of old DOS software. I could easily see setting up, you know, if you just needed a machine to do a task specific thing and you didn't care about internet, Twitter, auto updates, all this other stuff. I mean, it's hard to hack one of these systems when they're not connecting to anything and they don't have any interfaces to attack. Hell, most of the modern Chinese hackers are not going to know how to attack a DOS system. So, you know, there's that.
I'm going to help you with your virus on the computer you're working on.
The Commodore 64.
Yes, yes.
You don't know what a Commodore 64 is. I want to meet the person who wrote a Windows virus that runs on a fucking Commodore 64. I want to shake their hand. The guy had no clue what I was talking about. He had no fucking clue. Have I told that story on Decking? I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a Commodore 64 up in front of me because I was trying to see if I could get it on the internet. And the guy who called me pretended to be Microsoft saying I had a fake virus, or I had a virus.
I haven't had one of those calls for a while.
Yeah, I think that's largely stopped. Now they try to get you to call them through fake websites.
Or a text scam that I've been texted twice now. This is the post office. We were attempting to deliver your package, but we couldn't because of whatever missing data. And I'm like, if you've got my phone number, you've got my fucking address.
The one I've been getting lately, I've gotten several of these. It's slowed down, but I was blocking numbers. Was you'd get a text like, "Hey, I missed you at the thing today," from some number you've never heard of, or "I thought you were going to be in the office today," you know, shit like that. And what they're looking for is anyone to respond, and then they're going to try to get you to, you know, do something. And of course, you don't know what it is at first because you go, "Hey, I think you've got the wrong number," and then they start responding, you know, with something. You realize what it is pretty quick, but it's just like, "Damn it!" So yeah, just start blocking those numbers. But
I'm on another list.
Okay, so Sycars has a recommendation. If you do get on one of those, that's a good way to do it. Yeah, because remember, I used to like to try to get on the abuse list so that they wouldn't call me. I like that one. Sycars recommends telling them how much you love Putin and how much you hope Ukraine falls. Yeah, I can see the people in the call centers over there getting really upset about that one. But yeah, I kind of think more people should go grab some of the old software, some of the old DOS stuff, play with it in DOSBox, or set up a dedicated machine. And, you know, why not? So.
Oh, it's good. You learn how to actually use a computer.
And again, you don't have to deal with the damn thing updating all the damn time. So. And now I kind of want to break out that collection of old zip disks I've got in the closet. Anyways, that's all I got for tonight. Listen to the stream, we're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, Sycros, Madman, myself, Neurobash, Sardonyx, and she. Madman, closing thoughts.
I found both a spindle of CDs back whenever I was actually making CDs and a spindle of DVDs in my closet a couple days ago. I don't know what I'll ever do with them.
Do you even have a machine with a burner anymore?
Yes. Yes, I have a machine that will burn Blu-ray DVDs, even though I don't have any Blu-rays. I have the old-fashioned ones. But yeah, I've got a burner that does everything.
Cycross, whatever you're doing there, your ASCII art's not working very well. Are you? Closing thoughts?
I have nothing this week. As I said, slow weeks, boring. Fucking nothing happening. End the show now.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
Security. She's got a break.